Good afternoon, Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Cunnan and Megan Turnquist. It's been a turnaround Tuesday so far for the markets. According to Marex Solutions market analyst Scott Shellady, Wall Street is all over the place due to the coronavirus. Shellady thinks the coronavirus-induced pain in the stock market will continue longer than originally thought.
Seeing these pressures with the president and his medical team. And they keep talking about bringing down this bell curve, right? And that's called Farr's Law is the bell curve. And we're on the uphill side. China's on the downhill side. And so now, by the way, is Italy. But the doctors keep talking about trying to bring the height of the bell curve down. And what that really means is they just want to spread out the number of people that go to the emergency room or go see big-time help.
Shellady says that only extends the time until recovery can begin.
But by spreading it out over time, they're pulling the ends of the bell curve out left and right. And that's just going to extend the length of time that we're in that economic malaise, right? So in order to keep people coming to the emergency rooms in an orderly fashion and not all at once, they've taken the route of extending this economic malaise, which I think is also going to be very painful. So that means we'll probably be shut down longer while we're trying to deal with an orderly flow of patients, which means this situation that we've got ourselves in now will take a longer time to get out of than we maybe thought at the first beginning.
The corn market is lower after investment bank Goldman Sachs recommended a short May 2020 corn position. S&W trading market analyst Andy Schisler says the thought is that lower ethanol demand and large acreage will swell corn ending stocks. However, he's not so sure.
Normally, when you have economically depressed times, acres come out of production. I think you should see 6 to 8 million acres not get certified at FSA this year, is what I think. That's kind of the number. Where last year, we planted the maximum amount of acres because a lot of that was prevent plant. So even the bad acres got prevent planted last year, which drove the overall acres number up. But I wouldn't be afraid of the crop report at the end of the month anymore.
Schisler says what's concerning is the strength of the U.S. dollar.
Again, I think we did the wrong thing at the Fed. I'm not sure that a zero interest in the kind of places they're putting the money really helps anybody, for that matter, which is why stocks were down a couple thousand yesterday. It's like the banks will just get richer because they get to borrow for nothing. They figure maybe they'll invest in stocks or something. I don't know about that.
There have been disruptions within the cattle markets as a result of this coronavirus outbreak. Cattle Facts Vice President of Industry Relations Kevin Good says there is still a lot of clarity to be obtained in the coming weeks.
It's a timing issue the way we look at the markets. We need to get confidence back in the markets, not only in the cattle, but obviously in the financials and across the board. Right now, it's a risk-off type environment. You can see that in the live cattle futures where they've continued to free fall. And obviously, cattle prices have followed suit and have been softer over the last couple weeks and unfortunate events. As we think about from a producer standpoint, now we've got price levels, especially as we think about yearling operators and cow-calf operators, it's pretty tough. You know, there's no doubt about it. We're at or below break-evens in some of those categories.
From a big picture standpoint, Good says the industry has done an adequate job of harvesting cattle. There has also been good product movement and demand remains strong.
But unfortunately, the markets are building in a lot of uncertainty. They're building in a lot of softer type demand levels. Right now, I think the key is to get down the road a few weeks, let the markets become a little more sure of when the coronavirus outbreak will be contained, when we can expect to see more normal commerce and travel, and therefore expenditures from our consumer base. At that point in time, the market should, going back to other past events, recover to some degree.
President Trump told reporters on Monday the U.S. could be sliding into a recession. According to Wells Fargo agricultural economist Michael Swanson, there is a risk. Swanson says there's also a technical definition for a recession, two consecutive quarters of negative growth.
It's very likely, obviously, with the airline travel cancellation, you know, meals away from home cancellations, that first quarter will show a contraction adjusted for, you know, seasonality. Probably what's the real open question is, will second quarter also be a contraction. And that's, I think, open to how fast do we see the virus get controlled. So I think it's pretty safe to say, yeah, first quarter we'll see a contraction. How big? Debatable. But what might be really interesting is, will we get that second quarter of knock-on effects, as we say?
Swanson says a recession doesn't mean too much for agriculture.
We're more impacted by the strength of the dollar. You know, we're a good currency, we're a good economy, people want to invest here, hold their money here. So right now the dollar is very strong, and that probably has more of an impact on pricing of agricultural commodities in the short term. Long term, not that much.
Trump administration has announced 15 guidelines to slow the spread of coronavirus. This will help save lives and keep critical U.S. infrastructure in place amid the outbreak, including the food supply chain. The Food Industry Association says grocery stores are working 24 hours a day to replenish and restock shelves while ensuring cleanliness. In a statement, the National Pork Producers Council expressed support for the administration's guideline. U.S. pork producers are staying committed to supplying a safe, nutritious, and low-cost food source to keep consumers fed.
Nearby, New Sun and High Oleic sunflower prices set new market highs at North Dakota crush plants this past week, gaining 40 cents. 2020 new crop prices range from $17.85 to $18.25. Oil premiums are also still being offered, pushing the oil content gross return 10% more hundredweight. You can find out more from the Red River Farm Network by visiting Facebook and Twitter. Find stories, podcasts, and more at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. On Sunday, President Trump held a call with food retailers and food manufacturer CEOs to discuss the food and agricultural value chain logistics in regards to the coronavirus. The Russell Group President Randy Russell says another call is scheduled for this afternoon.
And it's really to drill down on the supply chain related issues. You know, we're seeing more and more restrictions being put in at the state and local level, more quarantines put in. And what they want to ensure is whether it's ag production as we go into planting season, or whether it's food manufacturing or food retailers, that employees can move in and out of the quarantines, that trucks can move in and out of the quarantines, and that we make sure that the value chain is recognized as an essential industry and is exempted from any of these quarantines.
The coronavirus is top of mind with lawmakers, too. While the Senate is considering a vote on the second round of coronavirus aid, Russell says a third package, with details to be announced today, is expected to pass overwhelmingly as well.
Treasury Secretary Mnuchin is laying out what we hear to be a $850 billion dollar stimulus package to try to help some of the industries that have been most impacted so far by the coronavirus and the impact on economic activity. I mean, put that in perspective, that is larger than the stimulus package that Congress passed and enacted during the 07-08 economic meltdown that we had. So it just puts it in perspective. They are looking at a massive package that they're going to try to pass here in the next week or two.
Well, demand for soybeans and soybean products remains high. National Oilseed Processors Association reporting the February soybean crush at 166.3 million bushels, slightly more than trade expectations, 7.6% more than a year ago. February crush, though, is down from January's record crush of 176.9 million bushels.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending March 12th shows corn inspections of 978,000 metric tons, 17% more than the previous week and 20% above the same week a year ago. Soybean inspections of 436,000 tons are 14% less than the previous week and 48% below the same week a year ago. Wheat inspections of 450,000 tons are 2% less than the previous week, but 16% more than the same week last year. For the marketing year, corn inspections are running 41% behind last year, soybean inspections are 10% ahead of last year, and wheat inspections 9% ahead of last year's pace.
Before South Dakota lawmakers wrapped up their legislative session last week, they passed a bill to legalize hemp. State House Agriculture Committee Chair and farmer Tom Bruner is pleased with that accomplishment. Money was a big hang-up in the discussions.
In the end, we put the appropriation on, and at the, you know, if next year we get there and we haven't spent the money, I guess it's still there. But we feel like that was one of kind of an unnecessary guardrail that was put on and held the bill up, and then a lot of politics played with it in the other house and whatnot. But in the end, we've got a bill that I think the governor intends to sign.
If that bill is signed, Bruner says there's lots of pressure on the South Dakota Department of Agriculture to set up inspectors, registration, and manufacturing in the next few months. South Dakota doesn't have a plan for a pilot program, something neighboring states have had in place for a few years. Bruner says it can be a big jump to go to hemp, especially for new growers.
You know, aren't familiar with, you know, seed production, where to get the seed, you know, things like that, insurance companies, whatever. It's a big jump to, you know, with no pilot program. We had proposed pilot programs several years ago, trying to just get a little jump on it, and our pilot program is North Dakota, I guess. you know, we really... yeah, it's going to be a big jump for people that want to grow, and all we can do is sit and watch what other states have done and the mistakes they've made, and hopefully learn from that, because there's a lot of risk.
A friendly reminder, go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for our weekly FarmNet News e-newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And that's all at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Well, as spring approaches, farmers who have fields with a history of white mold also need to be thinking about white mold prevention. SipCam Agro Director of National Sales Matthew Seibel says prevention is the only way to control white mold.
Yeah, absolutely. Contans is a great biological for us. And a lot of times when we hear about biologicals, we get a little bit concerned about, oh, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. And this is a proven, replicated tool for white mold control in beans. And so it's a tremendous application that you can make after harvest in the fall or before plant in the spring. And we get absolutely great control. And it's an investment in your field for the long haul.
Even with tough field conditions, Seibel says all you need is an application window prior to planting.
That way you can get that out there, because preventative control for white mold is always the best option. There's not going to be any post control with this. This is a complete preventative control. And truly in the marketplace, there's not really any good total post-application controls. It's just trying to mitigate some of the loss. So this is a great, tremendous tool, but we just have to hope for the right weather opening so a guy can get out on the field to make that application.
Dry bean trading activity is slow to steady with very good demand, according to USDA's weekly market news. Contract product is moving steady. North Dakota and Minnesota grower prices for pinto beans are $32 to $38 per hundredweight. Black beans remain steady at $25 to $27 per hundredweight. Navy beans are at $30 per hundredweight. Kidney bean prices for Minnesota remain steady at $38 to $46 per hundredweight.
Taking a quick look at the markets here before we leave you this afternoon. May Minneapolis wheat up 4 at 513 and 3 quarters. May Chicago wheat up 6 and 3 quarters at 504 and 3 quarters. May corn down 8 and a quarter at 346 and a half. December corn down 3 and a quarter at 363 and 3 quarters. May beans up 4 at 825 and 3 quarters. November beans down a half at 844 and a quarter. April live cattle up $4.50 at 96.35. April feeder cattle up $4.52 at 112.62. April lean hogs up $4.50 at 58.47. Taking a quick look at the farm calendar, the NDSU Extension Soil Health Cafe talk scheduled for this week and next week in Velva and Madoc, North Dakota, have been canceled. Thanks for joining us. This is the Red River Farm Network.